Turn to Psalm 45, verse 1. Psalm 45, verse 1. I'm gonna cut your amp, bro. It's got a little bit of. Got some hum going.
Yeah, that one right there.
Psalm 45, verse 1. Says, my heart is inditing a good matter. The word in Hebrew is rachash. My heart is rachash, inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The Amplified Bible says, my heart overflows with a goodly thing. American King James, my heart is gushing a good matter. Darby Bible Translation says, my heart is welling forth with a good matter. What I want to talk about tonight is a little bit of what we've been experiencing here. And I want to call it bubbling and dropping. Bubbling and dropping. Or what comes up also comes down. So bubbling and dropping. And it's just a real simple concept. And I've never actually preached it before. But I had something else all planned out for tonight that I thought we'd go that direction, but I don't think we're going to. I think we're just going to run with this for a second, just to talk about what happened, okay? This says, my heart is inditing, bubbling up, overflowing. Here's what that word means. Rachash, it means boiling or bubbling up. It means to boil over as a fountain. It's from another. It's a primitive root which means to gush, to indict. My heart is inditing, is gushing. John 7:38. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's basically. I just want to touch two primary areas that we can tap into when it comes to moving in the things of the Spirit, okay? One of them is this thing where it bubbles up, all right? And that's something actually that we can, I believe we can put a demand on. In other words, the anointing abides in us. The anointing is not the, oh, I feel it. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But the anointing is the person of Christ. He is resident. He doesn't come and go. I mean, our feelings come and go. But he does not come and go. He is resident within us.
Amen.
And there are some times that I feel under the anointing. And that's a cool thing. But there are other times I don't feel nothing. Maybe I feel tired. Amen. Maybe I feel irritated. Maybe I feel a whole lot of other stuff. But I can still I can still access. You know what it is when you pull out your checkbook and you write a check and you put a demand on your account, right? Or you access what is in your account. Well, see, we can do that same kind of thing. And that's part of the bubbling up thing is sometimes it bubbles up on its own, but sometimes you got to prime the pump. And there is nothing wrong with that. Because now it's not like you're trying to make something happen. You know, I mean, there are some people that just they try and make it. And I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about accessing something that you know is resident. Because you're in a situation where you need the anointing. Well, you don't have to wait for the goosebump. You don't have to wait for any of that. You simply put a demand, and you're not telling God what to do. Okay. When I say demand, we're not telling God to do anything. Because he's already told us, I am with you always. I ain't never going to leave you. I'm with you.
Amen.
And we know that the anointing is abiding, and it abides for a reason, and that is to flow in it. Because it is the person of Christ. So really, we're flowing. It's Him flowing through us. But sometimes we've got to get past our feelings to get to that thing. And that's the bubbling up thing. Are you with me?
There's a lot of times I don't feel like anything, you know. But we just got to put a demand on. I have to believe that this is true when He says, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Amplified, I like that. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. How about this? 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place. We're still talking about the prophetic. Okay? We have a more sure word of prophecy. We didn't change the subject here. It's all the same. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, what's that mean? That means we have a sure word of prophecy. You get in any situation, God has you there for a reason, and He has you there to be His voice. And we just have to tap into the day star. We know who the day star is, right? Mm-hmm. That's arising in our heart, and He has to arise. What is the heart? The heart is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And sometimes our mind and our will and our emotions, when we get in these situations, think, oh my gosh, what can I do to help? I don't have any answers. Well, heck no, you don't have any answers. Nobody ever said you did. But the answer is in you and I. So the day star has to arise in my heart and has to overshadow my emotions, my thoughts, all of my thinking I'm inadequate and I don't have all the, I don't got the goods and all that. The day star just has to arise and overtake that, and I have to realize, no, just a minute, there's something that bubbles up in me.
Amen.
And we can access that. We don't have to wait for it.
Amen.
Now, do you believe?
Amen.
You believe me?
Yeah, but I'm scared to do it.
I don't want to lose control.
Yeah. What?
What if I'm wrong, Doug?
What if I'm right?
What if you're right?
Right.
I mean, I went out on a limb tonight because I could sense there's some things dropping in the atmosphere, and it's like, no, somebody else needs to get this. So I went out on a limb, and sure enough, people started picking up on it. Yeah. What? And I mean, going in the back of my mind is, well, what if nobody picks up on it? Well, what if somebody does pick up on it? And sure enough, it happened.
Yeah. And see, that's the bubbling up. That's the, I think, what's his name?
Bill Hammond. They call it the knobby. Knobby anointing. It's that word knobby, and I don't. But that bubbling up thing. Now that's one aspect, but see, there's another aspect that we tapped into tonight, and that's called what comes up also comes down.
Psalm 68 verse 8. Psalm 68 verse 8. The earth shook, and the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. So the heavens dropped. See, there is a bubbling up, but there's also a time when the heavens drop.
Okay? And the atmosphere is such that anybody can tap into it. We've seen this around our fellowship a bunch, because we got young folks there. They don't, when we first started operating in this kind of stuff, mean, these kids, they didn't know anything, but they did know that, you know, all of a sudden the atmosphere has shifted, and all of a sudden I'm getting this thought, and we've just trained them that, okay, if it's a God thought, you know, then speak it out, and let's see what happens. Let's see, and run with it. And you know what? Boom, things would start to happen because there was just the atmosphere. In other words, even sometimes if something isn't bubbling up, if we're in the atmosphere where the heavens drop, and let's look at this word,
the heavens also drop. That word is nataf. It means to ooze. That is to distill gradually, by implication, to fall in drops. Figuratively, to dropping. And it also means to prophesy. Nataf means prophet, and it means prophesy. So the heavens prophesy. In other words, there are times when the atmosphere is such that it's the heavens are prophesying, and all you got to do is just get your Bluetooth on and tap into it. It's not rocket science. That's when it's really easy. And see, that's part of what happened here tonight too. Does this make sense? Yeah. And these are just, this is just like some real practical stuff of moving in the Spirit. How about Ezekiel 20, verse 46? Son of man, set thy face toward the south and drop thy word toward the south and prophesy against the forests of the south. Here again, same idea. The word drops, okay? Ezekiel 21:2. Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem and drop thy word toward the holy places and prophesy against the land of Israel. Now, Micah 2:6. Nataf, this word. Prophesy, nataf you not. Say they to them that nataf, that prophesy, they shall not prophesy, nataf to them, and they shall not take shame. So the idea is this same word, drop, is used for prophesy. Drop, prophesy, it's the same word. It's just translated differently in a couple different places. And see, that's the other aspect of just operating in the Spirit is let's do what we can to create an atmosphere, to make an opening, if you will. I mean, the heavens are open because the heavens got open when Jesus, you know, did his thing, and the heavens have always been open, but we don't always perceive them as open. So therefore, we have to make an opening, if nothing else, just for our own brains. The heavens are always open.
Change your mind.
Yeah, and we've got to change our mind. So let's create an atmosphere where it's easy for the word, for the prophetic word to drop into the atmosphere, because then anybody can tap into it. Now, wasn't that fun what we did tonight? Because it wasn't just one person seeing things and then we pray for them. That's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's a lot more fun when everybody can, okay, well, I'm getting this. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing this. And then it's like, you know what a faith builder that is was for me too, because I was getting something. I didn't really want to speak it out. And then when somebody else says it, it's like, yes! This theory that I'm going to talk about, it really does work. Because sometimes God just drops stuff in the atmosphere and it doesn't matter who gets it. Now, we don't have a balloon here, do we? Darn. In my briefcase at home, I have a balloon. And what I'll do is I'll blow up the balloon and then I'll just toss it out. And it's like, whoever wants to reach up and grab it, they got the balloon. And that's the way it works when the atmosphere is such that the heavens drop. And God just drops things into the atmosphere. And it doesn't matter whether you're a prophet or not. If something, if the balloon's coming your way, grab it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's as simple as that. And you don't have to worry about... See, that's the other thing is we get all worried. Well, what if it's not God? Well, what if it is? And if it's not, who cares, man?
Right.
It's not like we were going to stone you or anything.
Oh, yes, we have tar and feather, too.
I mean, nobody's going to stone you. So relax. How about Genesis 7:11? Because see, really what we wanna do is create a 7-Eleven atmosphere. Genesis 7:11. See, what comes up also comes down. Genesis 7:11. In the year 600 of Noah's life, 17th day of the second month, the same day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and burst forth, and the windows and floodgates of heaven were opened. And see, what we want is this. We want to create this atmosphere, and we are the atmosphere, by the way. It's not if we play the right music or something, you know what. But that is one thing. You notice, I just got something that was kind of innocuous background type stuff. And then, you know, adjusted the volume with whether somebody's talking or not. That's just a practical thing. You don't want to probably have something that's real intricate, you know, going on, because then people get into the music and it serves as a distraction. But it's not about the music. It's creating this atmosphere where you can have bubbling up and dropping down at the same time. Because when you got that going on, then you end up with everybody gets gushing. Then everybody gets wet and everybody enters into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense? Yeah. So all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and burst forth. Windows and floodgates of heavens were opened. How about this? Proverbs 3:20. See, it's one thing for us to access or tap into that bubbling up, that knobby thing. It's one thing for us, and it's another thing for us to you know, if we're in the atmosphere where the heavens are dropping, to be able to reach into that. But how much better if we can get both?
Amen.
How much better? How about Proverbs 3:20? By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. See, that needs to be our prescription. By his knowledge. And the knowledge is really just that it can be done. Yes.
What is the difference between a word of knowledge, mm-hmm, and prophecy? Or is it the same?
They're very similar. A word of knowledge is more along the line of God gives you something where it's something that you should not know or don't know in the natural. Like, somebody has a pain in the back of their arm. You don't really know that. It's just God downloads that, so you speak it out, and lo and behold, somebody has a pain. We pray for it. Now, the prophetic is generally more of either a declaration of God's purpose in the earth or a personal type prophecy over somebody. But a word of knowledge can be prophetic too. Yeah. So I'm trying to think. Who was it? Let me think. Who was? There's a biblical account that you've got word knowledge, prophecy, all this stuff going on. And I don't remember who was it? It was around the surrounding the birth of Christ. Was it Zechariah? Who am I thinking?
Zechariah.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Word of knowledge that you know, he's going to come and then he prophesies over him.
And he even gave, he was going to end up causing a lot of difficulties.
Yeah.
And she was going to be pierced.
Oh, yeah. So sometimes they kind of flow together. So you can have something that's a word of knowledge. Word of wisdom is really more something that is
something that is going to...
In fact, let's take 1 second here and let's actually look at a couple of these things just to kind of answer your question there. Let me pull up something. Just a moment here. Because I think this is... It's a good question you asked there, and I want to answer correctly. What's this going to be under manifestations? M manifestations. Blah, 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 blah. Ha ha. Give me a second. Okay.
First Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, two out of three of the revelation gifts are the Spirit, are the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. In fact, they reveal something in the heart and mind of God to the body of Christ or to individuals. Now, here's the thing. Word of wisdom. That's supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God. Word of wisdom generally speaks of the future. Gives wisdom regarding a matter in the mind of God. Word of wisdom is profitable for direction. Often it's used in conjunction with the other gifts. It's not a worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom says, you know, the sky is very black, I ought to take an umbrella. You know, that's not word of wisdom, okay? And it's not the kind of wisdom that comes through study or experience. It's a supernatural wisdom. It comes from the heart and mind of God. A word of knowledge, on the other hand, that's supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God. Facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things. Generally present or past tense, you know, whereas word of wisdom is generally future, word of knowledge is generally present or past tense. This gift will always speak of a current condition or situation or an event that has already occurred in the past. Here we go. It's Acts 9, 10 through 16. It's Ananias. Jesus appears to Ananias in a vision, tells him to go to a certain street to find Saul of Tarsus,
yeah.
Tells him that Saul is praying, he's received a vision in that he saw the man, and he's received a vision that he sees Ananias coming, laying his hands on him. Now this part of the passage, that's a word of knowledge. So Jesus is speaking to him of something that is current and past. After this, Ananias expresses his concerns regarding Saul. You know, I've heard of this guy. So Jesus tells him, now, Ananias, go your way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. Bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, children of Israel, for I will show him how great things must he must suffer for my name's sake. Now that part of the passage is a word of wisdom. Okay? So Jesus reveals to him a word of wisdom concerning his divine purpose for Saul. And so here we see the gifts all working together. And then there's also prophecy and gift of healing, because he goes and he lays his hands on him, he gets healed, he prophesies over it. So that's a good thing there. But that's the difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Now here's the
main thing is this though. If you're in the middle of getting something, don't stop and analyze.
Is this a word of wisdom? Is this a prophecy? I mean, that's the best way to basically stop the whole process is to get analytical. Don't worry about it. Afterwards, you can think about it, and then if you're one of those analytical types, afterwards, if you want to analyze the situation, that's fine. But in the middle of it, don't stop to say, am I getting a word of knowledge, or is this a word of wisdom? You know, just don't do that, because that it doesn't work like that. You know, because then the brain gets involved, and then you're going to mess up what he's giving you. So you might just, you know. So, let me look here. Okay.
I just kind of toss this in here also, just as an aside. Discerning of spirits is another gift, and yes.
When you feel like you need to pray for someone, and you go over and you touch them, and you see something or you hear a word, what is that?
That means you're supposed to pray for
No, like if you hear actual word,
yeah,
that you're supposed to say to them.
Well, that could be a prophetic word. Okay. Yeah. But it might be coming in the form of a word of knowledge or word of wisdom.
Right.
And I also wanted to say...
That turns into a prophecy.
You know when you said you want us to see it? A lot of us see it, but we don't want to walk up to the front of the room and ask people to say things. That's why you have to push a little harder.
You're still a little intimidated on speaking.
And then walking in the front, no?
Yeah. Well, hey.
Walk on the fear.
Yeah, I know.
You see, what is, now, and I'm going to pick on you a little, what's the root of that?
Acceptance.
Well, the real root is self.
Rejection.
That's right on.
The real root is I don't want to be wrong. I don't want, you know, what if I miss it, you know. And then what's all the root of that is really
pride.
Yeah,
isn't it? We try.
Yeah. I don't want to be, or I don't want to be the center of attention. Yeah. But see, that's the thing, is we just need to get over it.
Amen.
So what if you are wrong?
And who knows who's wrong?
Yeah, who knows who's wrong? Come on.
What if it's right?
What
I'm saying is, what's somebody going to say, no, you're wrong?
Yeah.
By the fruits you shall know.
I remember when I was really young with the Lord, and I was just learning how to hear His voice and to prophesy, and I mean, at that time, we were in a very, very large church. And so if you had a word, you had to go up. They had microphones.
Yes.
You had to go up to the mic. This was way early on. It's like, you know, all of us want to have, like, the entire word start, middle, finish,
yep.
You know,
yes.
Conclusion,
yes.
3 points. We want the whole thing before we go up to the mic. Well, it doesn't work like that.
Sure does.
Most of the time, you got about, you're going to have to get about maybe the first word or two or three.
Max three.
If you're lucky, you get three words, you know. Uh-huh. And, I was like, my heart would go, you know. And usually I'd wait so long and that I was just, you know, I'm breaking out in the sweat. My heart is palpitating like that. My hands are freezing. And my wife would say, would you just go up there? Because she knew what was going on, because it was the same thing. Finally, you know, I kind of worked through that to where I didn't have to go through that miserable experience. Because then by the time I got up there, I was so stinking nervous and my heart was palpitating. You know, it was a miracle I could even say, why put yourself through all that kind of torture, you know? Just
do it.
Nike.
Yeah, just do it, man. Okay, I got to get back to where I was, and I'm trying to figure out... where was that? Okay, this is my new tablet, and I'm still trying to figure out how to navigate my way around here, so you gotta give me a second here. Okay. Now, what were we talking about? Bubbling and dropping, that's right. Let me find it here, bubbling and dropping. Let me get to the bees. Bubbling and dropping, here we are. Where'd it go? Oh, here we go. Okay. How about Isaiah 45, verse 8? Drop down, ye heavens from above.
Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created. So, I mean, those are just some scriptures that, to me, they're just pictures of you know, operating in the realm of the Spirit. And you know, the main thing is, let's just be open to it, okay? Let's just really be open to it and not worry about what if we make a mistake, and not worry about those things. But just understand that there's more than one way to hear God. Very extremely rarely is it one of those things that, you know, where you actually audibly hear His voice. I don't know if I've ever audibly heard His voice. For me, it's generally extremely subtle. And it's so subtle that I could miss it altogether if I wasn't paying attention. A lot of times it's just a teensy, I'll barely feel. I mean, I don't even actually literally, physically probably feel it, but I have an inkling of a feeling, you know, in the neck. So I'll just go ahead and say something, and sure enough, 9 times out of 10, somebody's got it. Now, once in a while, I'll get something and nobody takes it.
Right.
You know, and if that happens, you know, you move on. You know, going once, going twice, going 3 times. You move on to the next thing.
Yeah. 16 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, once in a while, if you get something that doesn't happen, that's not the end of the world. Or maybe you're expressing it. I had something in France that where I was getting something about female problems. Somebody was having female problems. Now, not you, Ron. I'm picking on Ron tonight. So. But actually, I have female problems. I live with 4 women.
Be nice. Be nice.
I'm teasing.
No, we're not coverage.
So I got some about female problems. Well, nobody took it. So I figured, we'll just move on. Well, then it's like God came back in and said, well, you need to be more specific. They've been trying to get pregnant. They've been trying to get pregnant and things are. So when I said that, sure enough, some woman shot to the front. I mean, she was like out of a shotgun. So sometimes you might get something, but keep your ears open in case you're, you know, because for me it's generally pretty vague. I mean, it's not like extremely specific, you know, so be open to if you get something and nobody takes it, maybe there's something more to it that can come later too.
When the Lord speaks to you about you, your life,
yeah,
is it more detailed there than it is? Sure, detail with me when it's about me.
Not always. I generally don't get a lot of real detail. Oh, okay. You know, I kind of stumble into his will.
Do you?
I do.
That's so awesome.
I mean, I can't.
Bumper sticker.
Yeah, I just. My whole life has just been. In fact, a couple of months ago, I took Wes. Wes is our worship leader, young guy, he's 19, and he's just an awesome kid, and he's at that point where, you know, he's really seeking God for the specifics of his life and everything. And so we had a whole weekend where we're flying to Florida to do this worship thing. I took him with me, and basically spent most of the weekend just rehearsing things in my life where I basically just kind of stumbled into the will of God. And so if you don't get something that's really detailed, I want you to do this, 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 and this, and then this will happen, and that will make this happen. If you don't get that kind of stuff, there's hope for it.
Amen.
Now, if you get that kind of stuff, that's really great cool. Go for it. But I just never, I don't know, my whole life has been, I just kind of bumble into the will of God and suddenly look around and say, wow.
You did it.
Endless. Yeah, it's it's like his favor. Because see, his favor is really on his purpose. I ooze with the favor of God, but it's not on me as an individual. It's just because I've kind of bumbled into his purpose.
But when you get there,
yeah.
Do you then think back and say, I knew he was telling me this, saying I wasn't doing this?
Sometimes.
I guess that's what I mean when I'm saying detail. Like I'll say, oh yeah, that's what you meant.
Sometimes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Oh, that's what you meant.
Sometimes I don't get it.
Oh, I no, that's true.
Yes.
You know what I was going to say is I think he obviously knows who we are.
Yeah.
We're all different.
Yeah.
So he's going to relate to us what he wants through the type of person we are.
Yeah.
We know you are a detail-oriented person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. There you go.
So that's what he does for you.
Well, thank you very much.
And that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thus saith the Lord.
I mean, I'm so detail-oriented, I get a call the morning I'm supposed to fly up here, and it's Kim saying, when am I supposed to pick you up at the airport? Oh, yeah. I forgot to send him the itinerary. I did buy the ticket. I had enough detail to get a plane ticket.
And I didn't want to call him because I didn't want to bug him because I knew he was just coming in from France. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and I come home Monday night, and I check my email to see if maybe I'll get, the itinerary. Nothing. So I said, I'm going to have to call him early Monday morning.
Well,
so he laughed, and I laughed too, because, I've learned to wait.
It's one of those things.
That's where he is.
Right? Yeah.
Well, the trouble is, sometimes I think about something because I thought about it. I thought that I did it.
But you can laugh about it. That's wonderful.
That sometimes I'll have a conversation with somebody in my mind, and then I'll think that I actually had the conversation.
None of you are related to this, right? How many are related to what he's talking about?
Usually it's with my wife, and then a couple days later, don't you remember when we talked to me? She's like, we never talk about that. But she does the same thing. So,
That's good that you're here.
Yeah. Or sometimes we actually do have the conversation, both of us forget about it. And then it's okay, too. Any other questions?
Any questions?
Any thoughts, ideas? Yeah, I had we'll eventually get into teaching tomorrow, but it just, I don't know, this thing, I thought we ought to just run with it tonight.
It was very good.
And see what happens. So,
I'd like to give them this word that came in from the internet this morning from the North Kingdom House of Prayer. Those of you who are here this morning, just bear with me. I also want to give you a heads up. I'm not going to pass the basket. There's a green box for the greenbacks for a gift for our brother here. If you want to feed the children, obey the Lord. He's got 5 of them.
Just 4. Don't make it worse than it is.
Give him more than he has.
He's got
my wife has 5.
Oh, your wife has 5.
I have 4.
You have 4. Oh, okay. Okay, this was emailed to me. Now we know. You're like, you let the cat out of the bag. There's been a recall notice that's been given to me. And this is totally amazing, and to be sure to read it, talk about clever and to the point. Are you ready? Never heard it put quite like this before. The maker of all human beings, God, is recalling all units manufactured regardless of make or year.
All right, now.
Due to serious defects in the primary and central components of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype. The unit code's name are Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defects in all the subsequent units. This defect has been identified as subsequential internal non-morality, more commonly known as sin. As it is primarily expressed, some of the symptoms include loss of direction, foul vocal emission, amnesia or origin, lack of peace and joy, selfish or violent behavior, depression or confusion, fearfulness, idolatry, and rebellion. The manufacturer, who is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is providing factory-authorized repair and service free of charge to correct the defects. The repair technician, Jesus, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required. The number to call for repairs in all areas is PRAYER. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Next, download atonement from the repair technician, Jesus, into the heart component. No matter how big or small the sin defect is, Jesus will replace it with, number one, love, two, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Please see the operating manual, the BIBLE, Best Instructions Before Leaving Earth, for further details in the use of these fixes. Warning! Continuing to operate the human being on unit without correction voids any manufacturer's warranty, exposing the unit's danger and problems too numerous to list, and will result in the human unit being permanently impounded. For free emergency service, call on Jesus. Danger: the human being unit not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defects will not be permitted to enter heaven so as to prevent contamination of that facility. Thank you for your attention. Please assist where possible by notifying others of this important recall notice, and you may contact the Father anytime by Knee-mail, K-N-E-E, mail. Because he lives. God bless you. Isn't that cool? Carol had that on the internet this morning, and I just want to tell you that you got to laugh at this, but you know something? There are so many facts in there that are real. So be patient with yourselves, be blessed, obey the Lord, share some hugs with each other, and we want to honor my brother who stepped on a lot of fear tonight. Would you give him a clap offering, please? Yes. Now somebody has to also acknowledge that his wife had to put up with him. Come on, give me an ear here. Every time the man gets tested, the wife goes through. Every time the wife gets tested, the husband goes through. So would you give them a clap offering as a couple?